Send a movie idea.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at Burrow.com/ACAST. That's Burrow.com/ACAST. Burrow.com/ACAST.
Hello and welcome to the Dream Factory, the world's greatest user-generated movie creation podcast. The rules here are very simple. We can discuss as many of your movie ideas as we like, but only one can be taken through to the next stage, where the movie itself will be premiered at the inaugural Dream Factory Riz Party. I'm Joel, a man who puts the Riz into what is this Rizable nonsense? And across from me is John Harris, a man who, when first told of the TikTok Riz Party, walked out of his front door and screamed, "What?" at the first pedestrian that he found. Hello, John.
Yeah, so I assume we go dressed as like grandfather clocks, is that right? TikTok.
Good, that's good. That is good. So to let you in on a little bit of the production of Dream Factory here, dear listener, I hadn't thought of anything to say in the intro, which over the years has become increasingly difficult, not because I've done everything, but because the news is a less silly place than it was when we started doing this. Quite often, I was able to rely on opening a news website and there'd be quite a lot of "and finally" style news stories. And now it's just like a list of the most upsetting things you could possibly imagine, which, while important journalism, does not make for good Dream Factory intros. And so I messaged John and I said, "John, what's going on in the world?" as I sometimes do. And unbelievably, John tends to have his finger on the pulse and stuff like this. And he said, "What about the TikTok Riz Party?" And that, I promise you, was the first time I'd heard those four words. And I consider myself pretty up on what's going on the internet. And I think just by virtue of having not really been on TikTok for a week, an entire cultural phenomenon has passed me by. So yeah, it's scary. This is the first time I've honestly felt like, oh, there's just total corners of the internet that I'm not on and not aware of. Even though I have the app, like the things I'm being served aren't... It's scary, John. It scared me.
So when you search TikTok Riz Party, the suggestion of how to continue that sentence on Google is law.
Riz Party law. Yeah. Well, I've watched about 10 videos in the 10 minutes between you telling me that should be the intro and then us actually doing the recording. So I'm kind of across TikTok Riz Party now. Last year, there was a poster or a flyer that went viral because it was advertising a TikTok Riz Party, which to me just seems like, honestly, like every under 18s disco we would ever have been 100%. To or seen flyers for, and to the point where it's like, that's not particularly cringy or hilarious because those things have existed forever. But footage of this party where there were a load of teens went online and everyone just decided that was the TikTok Riz Party. And it's like 17 seconds of footage. And all of the people in it have been given it quite deep backstories. And there's like the internet has decided there's a power struggle between blue tie guy and this other guy. It seems quite good. I would say it seems quite good natured.
Hopefully.
I think it's good natured. It's like, do you remember that those lads singing went viral last year? I can't remember what it was. I think it was like a Jewish choir or something in New York. This footage resurfaced and it was amazing. It's like a really phenomenal video. And similarly, huge backstory was created. Law was created around that. So yeah. So I'm up on it now. I understand the TikTok Riz Party. I'll get the jokes to Blue Tie Guy. I'm young, John. I remain young. Please. I've been thinking about this for a while and I think I'm happy to say this now in public and make this declaration. I will not download the next app. It's too much now.
Ooh.
It's too much. You know, I've gone along with every social media app. TikTok has to be where it ends, because what comes next? What could possibly come next, and how will that be good for me? I will not download the next one.
There is an apologies. I know we've probably referenced this before, but there is an episode about six, probably 7 years ago now. No, it can't be that old. But a very old episode of Dream Factory called TikTok Billionaires.
Yeah.
Which is where Joel and I take the piss out of TikTok because it was this hilarious new little app that some people were using. And the colossal sort of quantities of an egg on our face now. You still have the account
called
Joel.
We didn't know there'd be themed Riz parties, John. For the love of God.
Right, we need to... We've been recording for about 7 minutes and haven't said a single movie idea.
Would you like one?
Yes, please.
This one's from Dapo. Back to plaque. Amy Winehouse's dentist released a documentary about tooth decay. Now we're on terra firma. Now I understand where we are.
So is he just sort of cashing in on the fact that he was Amy's
I think you probably
dentist.
Walk into the dental surgery and big picture of Amy with a toothy grin. And that's how most dentists get their trade, isn't it? Which celebrity endorsement can you get? This isn't to suggest that I'm part of the 1%, John. But my dentist, which I took great pleasure in pointing out to you when we went to a gig the other night, because we were very near to where my dentist is. My dentist has a big picture of Karen Brady of West Ham and The Apprentice in the reception. That's pretty good. That's pretty good. It also has, I would say the drop from Brady is pretty severe. The next person I can recognize is Frankie Kokoza. At what point do you take down the Frankie Kokoza picture from the wall? Who's going in? Who is going for their initial checkup and being like, these guys must be good. They did Frankie Kokoza's teeth. So, yeah.
So, in the interest of not being put on a list, rather than searching Amy Winehouse teeth, I've searched Amy Winehouse smile. And she's got a lovely pair of gnashes.
Yeah, phenomenal. Which, you know, the dentist should be very proud of maintaining. So I think absolutely the dentist can, or maybe, do you reckon there's, no. In these biopics, look, sometimes they're criticized for a lack of attention to detail. I've seen on Twitter people taking screen grabs of this Amy Winehouse one and saying that like the tattoos aren't correct. Okay. But do you reckon in a biopic they try and get your teeth to look? They must do. I guess you'd have to have pretty distinctive teeth.
Yeah, exactly. It depends how sort of
the Bohemian Rhapsody one, Freddie Mercury had distinctive gnashes, right? Did he?
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Yeah. Rami Malek was definitely wearing fake teeth. The thing is, it so quickly becomes like comedy teeth if you're careful.
Yeah.
It's very hard. I think Rami Malek is tiptoeing into comedy teeth territory with his...
Who's got the most famous teeth? Who could you recognise by their teeth?
Right now.
Right now, John, who's got the most famous teeth?
Someone the other day to me... By the way, just a side note, I won't dwell on it too long, but... You know, I'm in my office space at home. I think this is a safe space to record without anyone seeing me. But right now, my window is being cleaned.
Open it. Ask him. Who's got the most famous teeth? Hold up a selection of teeth.
The other day, someone said to me, comedian teeth, and three people at the table immediately said Rob Beckett.
Rob Beckett. Yeah. Beckett.
So I think he has to be up there.
Beckett has to be up there. That woman from the Maybelline adverts with a gap in her teeth. But John, here's the question.
Sure. Is she a Jagger?
Yes, Jade. Are her teeth famous Jaggers? Or is the gap famous? What am I recognising?
That's not famous too. Yeah.
Am I recognising the tooth or the gap? It's a pretty fundamental question, isn't it? Yeah, those two are probably the most famous teeth on earth. Any advances on that, let us know. Or if someone if you're like Goldie, or if you're like Ian Wright and you've got a gold tooth or like a really defining feature, that would help.
Well, that's because in my head, Amy Winehouse had a silver cap on one of her teeth, but maybe I've just made that up because I can't see any evidence of that.
Amy Winehouse. I'm doing it, John. I don't care about the tooth gold. I don't know.
An interesting thing you revealed there is with like the Jagger and the Rob Beckett is that Americans just will immediately sort out their teeth to an extent where they're all so boringly similar. The only famous American teeth is that... Is the Tom Cruise having a symmetrical tooth in the middle of his mouth?
Yeah, that's scary. That is scary stuff. But there's something deeper going on there. That's trying to convey some sort of message, I think. I think that tooth's a cry for help. I know a guy who went and did a screen test for a TV channel in America to do some sports broadcasting. And I would say this guy had a lovely set of teeth. And they did the screen test. And in the chat afterwards, they were like, you know, so if you get the job, obviously, first thing we'll do is sort your teeth out. As though, like, we're not putting you on TV with those British teeth, my friend. That's not happening.
It is nuts.
Viewers won't understand what they're looking at. There'll be riots in the streets.
American, you know, some Americans will be having dinner whilst watching this, and they can't be looking at those American teeth whilst eating.
Oh dear. So yeah,
British teeth.
British teeth. Yeah. There you go. Beckett. What Beckett about must seem like, I don't know, like some like Godzilla over there or something like.
The Americans cower as he walks through the through the streets. What about this one from Martin? Janet of the Apes. She doesn't want to subjugate the humans. She just wants to dance and sing.
Okay, is this about a Janet I'm not getting?
So no, I that
Janet
was
Street
my first.
Is it Janet Street
note.
Porter?
She's got famous teeth.
Yeah, wow. Janet Street Porter, Mary Queen of Shops. Was that her? I don't know what I'm talking about, John. I think the TikTok Riz Party has destroyed my brain. Is Janet Street Porter?
No, Mary Portis is Mary Queen of Shops, obviously. They're not punning on a different name for the TV show, are they, Joel?
What does Janet Street Porter do?
She's a feminist.
Why
a
is famous... her name? Why? But her name's so close to Manic Street Preachers. No one's ever thought about that. That would be a good Manic Street Preachers tribute back, wouldn't it? The Janet Street Porters.
And you all have to wear like ginger wigs.
They all wear ginger wigs. That's really good.
That's actually very good.
That is really good, isn't it? There we go. So Janet Street Porter is confronted by a planet of apes.
Yeah, I can't work. I can't see any evidence as to what the singing and dancing Janet is. I tried to Google it. Mm-hmm. I think it's just a pun on Janet. And then Martin's just gone a little bit further and thought, she's a singer and dancer.
He's imagined the character of Janet and what she does. Yeah, I'm into it. I think that works. Mary Janet- Portis turns up and tries to establish a high street on the planet of the apes.
So they sort of wear Star Trek-y clothes, right? So
the
they're
apes,
sort of space
yeah.
agey. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So she brings a bit of like 60s boho chic to the
nice.
Planet of the apes.
Yeah. Very good. Very good. I worked with Mary Portis once for a couple of days.
Yeah? And did you call her Janet at any point?
I kept calling her Janet. It was a horrible experience. She hated me. No, I can't remember much about it. Pointless bringing it up. How about this one from Paul? Pine Nuts of the Caribbean. A close look at the West Indies nut industry. Now, this is excellent because I would say pine nuts are probably more valuable than doubloons these days. I don't know about your local supermarket, John, but in my local supermarket, the pine nuts are way more expensive than the doubloons.
I don't often find myself down the doubloon aisle.
The booty aisle.
If I'm being honest with you. Mm. The booty aisle. Can you get pine nuts in the West Indies? That's my first question.
I don't think a listener like ours would have made that sort of mistake. I think, where do pine nuts... Where do... If it says pine trees, I'm going to get so annoyed. Come from...
Do pine nuts come out of pine cones?
Well, yeah.
Am I an idiot?
No. Well, yeah, of course.
I genuinely had no idea.
What did you think they were doing?
I just thought they were both things that had a similar name. So you're saying if I break open a pine cone, there's going to be one little tiny pine nut in there?
There'd probably be more than one. It wouldn't be a very efficient pollination system, I don't think, if there was only one in there. But that would explain their cost. John, when a recipe calls for pine nuts these days, I plan to have that recipe the day after payday. It's absolutely unacceptable. I think I paid £6.50 for a little bag of pine nuts recently.
I have a sort of broadly nut allergic partner. So pine nuts don't make their way into many of our recipes.
That's a great place to be. That is a fantastic place to be because, you know, this household is spending hundreds and hundreds of thousands of pounds a year on pine nuts at the moment. And it's not sustainable. So yeah, it would make sense to me that the pirates would want to pillage for pine nuts because they're such a rare commodity. Maybe that and olive oil.
Oh, mate, olive oil is absolutely nuts.
No, it's not. You can have olive oil, but you probably can't have, I don't know, sesame oil. Anyway, olive oil has gone completely crazy. Olive oil now costs, I don't know, man, 40 quid a go? A sip?
I honestly think if you told young me about like the price inflation, I probably wouldn't have batted an eyelid at like a £1 Kit Kat, but a £6 bottle of olive, a small bottle of olive oil. Blow me over with a leaf. Is that right? Blow me over with a feather? Well, I don't know what it is.
Blow me over with a leaf. That's exactly right. Like, what? Are you a tiny little ant?
No, I think it's made me so lightheaded that I could be knocked over by a simple gust of a leaf. Isn't that the sort of metaphor I'm going for here?
Blow me over by a leaf. Maybe, yeah. That's good stuff. So yeah, the new target for the pirates is olive oil. It's pine nuts.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
John, give me another one.
What about this one from Matt? Joel Man Jeans. Joel gets magically sucked into a globe and ends up in Korea wearing jeans. I don't know why you're in Korea.
Interesting. I really want to go to Korea. And so it'd be quite handy if I could transport myself there without having to pay the airfare. That would be useful. Happy to do it in jeans. So wait, read that again.
You get magically sucked into a globe. I guess that's like a Jumanji thing, right? You get sucked for some reason you end up in Korea wearing jeans. And I was wondering whether that was a reference to the Titchmarsh thing, but I think the Titchmarsh thing was allegedly China. It's probably not real. It's Joe Lycett.
Yes. Yeah. So I'm whipped to Korea in my new jeans in a Jumanji style. But in the original Jumanji, back at the source, the jungle rears its head into the real world. So what's happening there? There's just like loads of denim everywhere.
Yeah,
that's good.
Like cars are getting covered in denim, and
that's great.
And
denim's
stuff.
Like an organism; it's wrapping itself around everything until I can find a way to remove my jeans and career.
And there's how would you get rid of the denim? I think if you put denim in a tumble dryer, it would shrink. Right? That's you shouldn't really tumble dry your jeans.
You should never tumble dry your jeans. So you have to come together to build a huge tumble dryer, or maybe get a sequence of smaller tumble dryers.
The scientists in Switzerland discover that CERN, the Hadron Collider, is actually just a massive tumble dryer.
Giant tumble dryer, brilliant. That's perfect. Turn it on, point it towards the jeans, done. Right, John, would you like...
No. I know that he was just making a pun, but we have to address the man part of the title.
Mm-hmm.
Are the people of Korea just obsessed with how manly your jeans are? They're like jeans from the late 90s with the chain and the studs
and
stuff.
Yeah. The manliest jean is surely like the bluest denim, but it's been worn by a tradesperson for a number of years, so there's rips and tears. And when I think of the manliest jean, I think of the Bruce Springsteen album cover.
Okay, fine. That's what
that's
we're
me. So that's maybe the film, like, it cuts from my bedroom where I obviously have my Bruce Springsteen memorabilia. John, as you know, as someone that's been over to me, see me, I have my Bruce Springsteen memorabilia. And one of the things is obviously that album cover, which I think is Born in the USA.
Yes.
I know it's Born in the USA because of my Bruce Springsteen memorabilia. And the camera zooms in. Like, I'm sucked into the globe. We haven't thought too much about that. My Bruce Springsteen themed globe. And then I'm sucked into that, and the camera is fixed on the album cover of Born in the USA with the back of the jeans. And then we get like an image match cut, and it's the streets of Korea, but we're zoomed in on someone's ass, and it slowly zooms out to reveal that it's me in my new sexy jeans. And people are just, the people of Seoul are just falling about themselves. They cannot believe what they're seeing in this immensely fashion forward country. They are blown away by a pair of blue denim jeans.
It's good stuff. It's good content.
John, would you like a film idea from me?
Yes, please.
How about this one from me? Joel Man, the number 24. It's a sequel to the Jim Carrey movie, but in this one, he assumes a Jack Bauer-esque action role.
Wait, what? Joel Man?
No, I just said Joel Mann because that was in the last film I did. It's not Joel Mann, the number 24. I mean, that would be absolutely insane.
Right. My stupidity.
The number 24 is a sequel to the Jim Carrey movie, The Number 23. But in this one, he assumes a Jack Bauer-esque action role. As you know, you and I are big fans of Jim Carrey's oeuvre. He has obviously done lots of fantastic comedy. He's done lots of great drama. It's about time Jim Carrey did some straightforward action. I want to see Jim Carrey fire an RPG.
Yeah, but like when he's being held hostage and stuff, he's still cracking wise quips left and centre, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And I think he still becomes completely obsessed with the number 24. Has anyone seen the number 23? Or is it just sort of...
The thing is, we were like kids at the time, but there was that era where at the very same time, Robin Williams and Jim Carrey did creepy psychological thrillers, and I can't sort of work out which is which.
Well, didn't Robin Williams do like 1 hour photo? Is that his creepy psychological? And that's quite good, isn't it? The number 23, I just remember it being a bit of a joke because it's just about a guy who becomes obsessed with seeing the number 23 everywhere. Is that right? I don't know. Maybe we should watch it, John. Maybe this could be our next podcast. We watch the number 23 23 times.
Is this some sort of like Fibonacci sequency thing where it's like it does appear a lot more than you realise?
Maybe.
Well, I'd love to see Jim Carrey beat the shit out of a bunch of people.
Great. Good stuff.
And actually, on the subject of beating the shit out of people, my movie idea is The Raid. It's like the movie The Raid, but with insects, and it's basically just a massive product placement for the spray.
Amazing. So it's like a superhero who has the power of Raid, or is it you one day, you get into your office block for work and it's just become completely overrun by insects and all you've got is a can of Raid to get to the top?
I like both versions. In my head, it was like the insects are the size of humans and the hero has Raid powers.
Wow.
And Raid powers is just kicking big bugs.
Kicking big bugs.
But I like the sort of Die Hardy version of sort of normalish guy having to make his way through this insect infested office with one can of Raid. And the product placement shows for the whole entire hour and a half, I'm spraying like, it's me by the way, I'm spraying like a madman, but you never run out.
You never run out of Raid. That's the thing about a can. That's what I think they say that in the adverts, don't they? Enough in a can to completely destroy a 40-story building of human-sized bugs.
It's a long tagline, but it's effective.
It is. It's a long can. That's why it lasts so long. Good stuff. Well done, John. If you had to pick a winner from today's selection, what would you pick?
Joel Mann jeans. Yeah,
it's got to be Joel Mann jeans. It's one of the best things I've ever heard. Well done. Well done, John.
Well done, John. I know we've got things to talk about, but before we get to your big run, we got a correspondence from Nathan. Basically, on last week's episode or the week before, I think it was last week's, we talked about the idea of Predator versus Thor.
Mm-hmm.
And I said Thor would take him down easy. Yeah. And then you said, yeah, but the Predator's like this creature that's designed for fighting, right? So maybe don't underestimate it. And I didn't want to get cancelled by the Predator fans. So Nathan says, Thor is a literal god, and the only thing that has ever come close to taking him down was another god. While I am a Predator fan, Thor would demolish the Predator in his sleep. So Predator fans are with me.
Okay, fair enough. I stand corrected. I'll be putting a formal notes apology on my Twitter later today.
So, Joel, you ran a marathon.
Hey, I did. This is probably the last time I can really go on about it, so please indulge me. Because people stopped caring a couple of days afterwards, let me tell you that.
Oh, yeah.
I ran a marathon on Sunday. I ran the Brighton Marathon, John. And what I will tell you is that it's really hard. I trained really hard for it, and I was very ready for it to be hard. And then it was just so much harder than that, which surprised me. The last 6 miles, I was thinking about this earlier today, actually. It probably is one of the best days of my life, but that also contained the worst 45 minutes of my entire life, which is quite a strange thing to get your head around. The last 6 miles were absolutely horrific. You genuinely do hit a wall. I felt a physical wall. Some funny things that happened when I was hitting the wall is that I was overtaken by a pacer. So, you know, the guys right across the start line, you can go and stand near someone with a flag and they will run the race at a pace. So if you've got a goal time or you want to have like a sense of how you're doing, you can run in like, and there'll be like a pack huddled around them. So I got overtaken by a pacer. And then about a minute later, I was catching the pacer up. And I was thinking, this is strange. I haven't got any quicker. And then the pacer collapsed. Just stumbled over to a tree and couldn't keep himself up. And still with the giant flag with the time sticking up, which is really funny. And the group of people that were with the pacer were like, oh no, what do we do? So that was good fun. And there, in that last bit, there's just people just stopping, right? For the last sort of half an hour, people are stopping, they're walking, they're just sitting down on the curb. And for the entire time, your brain is going, you know, you can do that as well. You should probably do that too. And it's really, it's just a really weird sensation. Your body's just saying, I've had enough. But no, I did it. I felt very proud. It was very windy and very sunny and very hilly. But, you know, that's just being outdoors. That's what the world's like. It's not making excuses. So, yeah, I had a good time. Thanks, John. I will now answer any questions you have.
It's so interesting how it seems like quite relatively universal, this idea that at 20 miles, your body just goes, stop now, stop it.
Yeah, it's mad.
Have you got a taste for it, though? Are you thinking about your next one?
I think so. I think, yeah, I think so. But I wonder if that's just like a chasing the dragon thing, you know? Like, I ran it in a good time that I was happy with, but now I'm thinking...
Very good time.
Well, what could... Now I'm thinking, what could I do better, you know? Could I run it next year, but someone could flatten Brighton, maybe? These are the thoughts I'm having. If I
could I remove
in the space
feet?
Of a year, can I become the mayor of Brighton and make the course more
yeah, like a one part like? A one policy party, and the policy is flatten Brighton.
The policy is, we're going to make this the fastest marathon course on earth at huge expense and destroying so much local infrastructure. But my God, it'd be worth it.
If I Google world's flattest marathon, do you think that the results will come up? There must be.
Yeah. I reckon it'll be Amsterdam or Rotterdam or something, won't it? World's flattest marathon. World's quickest marathon. The Berlin's supposed to be really quick, right? That's what everyone sets the records in Berlin.
And how are your feet? How are your legs? Are you still feeling it? We are now Thursday and you ran on Sunday.
I ran on Sunday. I went for a little run last night and it was hard and heavy. I think I'm injury free, just a bit tired.
Oh, brilliant.
So there we go.
Also, listener, Joel and I saw each other last week. We went to a gig together.
We went to see everything. Oh, they were great.
They were brilliant. I thought we should take a photo to put on the socials to prove that we do exist in the real world together sometimes, but I forgot.
Yeah, that'd be good. We should probably, next time we hang out, bring about 8 or 9 different costume changes so we can really keep up the pretense that we hang out all the time.
Well, I mean, we are hanging out all the time, Joel, because I'm seeing you in 2 days' time.
That, which
absolutely
to me
outrageous.
Is shocking. I know.
Twice in
we're going to have nothing left to say to each other. I'm going to have to really grab some anecdotes in the next couple of days. I might have to schedule something into my life to do on Friday so I can tell you about it on Saturday. Because I've got nothing left.
Please do, Joel. If you're still listening, listener, thank you very much. Tell your friends, review us, post about us on socials. Be nice to each other.
Bye.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
Send the guys a movie idea. Tell your friends that you like the show. Follow us on social media. Then you'll be the best listener.